Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Tes in Shkalim. We're in Chet Samad Aleph. We are finishing off the discussion in the Gemara regarding the Maisa Behema, and then we'll start the next Mishnah, and then hopefully we'll make our way back to where we should be. I'd like to try to get to the bottom of Tes Samad Aleph to the new Mishnah. Okay, let's get right into it. The Gemara brought down a basic machlokas amongst the Tanayim. Maisa Behema, in terms of when does the fiscal year begin regarding Maisa Behema? Maisa Behema is a mitzvah in the Torah where every animal that's born in our flock over the course of the year needs to be mufrash, needs to be separated. So first we're going to do a counting, and the counting will take us 1 through 9. The 10th animal now will be Maisa Behema. The 10th animal is marked red, and that animal now becomes a karban. The animal is brought to Yerushalayim and brought as basically a shlamim. So this is the mitzvah Maisa Behema. It's your animal, meaning it's your karban. You're going to benefit from the animal, but it's not matnas kahuna. You don't give it to a kohen. But nevertheless, this is the basic mitzvah of Maisa Behema. It's like hafrashas trumas and maisros. It's like separating trumas and maisros. We'll talk about that later this morning in terms of its connection to hafrashas trumas and maisros, but that's the basic mitzvah. Okay, there's a fiscal year, meaning like much like trumas and maisros, when it comes to Maisa Behema. So animals that are separated have to be animals that are born this year, not as opposed to animals that are born last year. We're going to be learning over the course of in just a couple of minutes from now, that animals that were born last year cannot combine with animals born this year, and there's no mitzvah of hafrasha combining the two animals. It has to be all within the animals that were born within this year. So what's the year? Meaning, when does the year begin? When does the year end? So that's the machlokas amongst the Tanayim. So the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, one of the first Mishnahs in Rosh Hashanah, talks about how there are certain months in the year which are Rosh Hashanah, which are the beginning of the year, vis-a-vis various halachas. And one of the halachas is Maisa Behema. So when is Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema? So the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us it's a machlokas. The two opinions are Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Echad Be'el, that the first day of Elul is Rosh Hashanah and Maisa Behema. And then Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say, no, it's Echad B'Tishrei. Echad B'Tishrei comes out according to Rav Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Echad B'Tishrei is both Rosh Hashanah for the years, right, for Shanim and for Yovel, and it's also Rosh Hashanah for Maisa Behema as well. Okay, and based on that's a machlokas. Oh, and let me just introduce one other point over here, and that's the opinion of Ben Azai. Ben Azai says, I don't know, meaning I'm not gonna get in the way of these of this machlokas tanayim. So Ben Azai took a chumra position, which is that any animal that's born in Elul is not to be combined with animals from the previous year or animals from the upcoming year, because I don't want to take a side. I don't want to take a position. So okay, we'll talk more about Ben Azai in just a second. That's the opinion of Ben Azai. Comes out now that based on this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, so then we're going to go back to our Mishnah here in Shkalim, and we're going to be able to understand what was called the Geranos. Remember yesterday we introduced ourselves to the idea of Geranos. Geranos are 3 dates a year where the Chachamim basically said, okay, take Maisa Behema. Meaning based on, the Gemara gave a couple of suggestions, based on the fact that Yantiv is coming up, or based on the fact that this is the months that the animals tend to deliver. Okay, one of those two possibilities. So there are grunos. There's just simply three marking times over the course of the year where the Chachamim said, okay, stop. Now take Maisa Behema. Okay, now go ahead. Now proceed. So these three grunos, one of the dates of the three grunos. So as we learned back in our Mishnah, that's a machlokas. A machlokas amongst the Tanaim. When exactly are the three dates? As I mentioned yesterday, it comes out that there's not a major difference between them calendarically, meaning they're arguing a week, maybe sometimes 2 weeks, maybe sometimes a month, but they, generally speaking, are the same season of the year in terms of when the Granos are, but there's a machlokas. Now that we know that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon regarding when the fiscal year of Maisa Behema begins and ends, so now we go back to our Mishnah, and it complements our Mishnah perfectly, as we pointed out yesterday. In terms of the machlokas in our Mishnah, when is the Goren? When is the time that the Chachamim tell us that we have to take off Maisa Behema? Okay? That's a quick overview of what we've done.
If you have the Goren 3 times a year anyway, what does it matter what the year is that they count it?
Yeah, so it's an excellent question. The basic answer is the Goren is a soft date, and the fiscal year is a hard day. And what I mean by that is as follows. The Goren is all imposed by the Chachamim. So, but if I have animals born before the Goren and after the Goren, they're going to combine. So the Goren itself is just it's a strong suggestion by the Chachamim, okay, now, take Maisa Behema now. But it's not, it's a soft date, meaning it doesn't separate the year. the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, that separates the year, meaning that's a hard date. That's one date in the year where that's considered last year's animals versus this year's animal. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us to basically where we got to yesterday. And now we're going to go back and review the position of Ben Azai. Okay, I'm going to start on Ches Amud Aleph. I'm about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. And we're starting with Amar Ben Azai. Ho ve'elo amim kach, ve'elo amim kach. You alulim mit asim bifnei atzman. So Ben Azai says, look, I have on one side Rabbi Meir. I have on the other side Rabbi Elazar versus Rabbi Shimon. I don't want to take a stand on this issue. Any animal born in the month of Elul stands by itself. So haketza, so the Gemara says, so now let's really articulate Ben Azai's position with clarity. So no lo beheba aveheba elo veheba tishrei. So let's formulate the following example. I have five animals born in the month of Av. Five in the month of Elul, five in the month of Tishrei. Ein mitstarfin, they're not going to combine. Why? Because Elul, according to Ben Azai, is an independent month. Because since I don't want to take a side, I don't want to paskin whether it's the end of last year or the beginning of this year, so therefore my position is going to be it's neither. It'll be it's a standalone month. And therefore it will not combine, not with five animals of the previous year, not five animals of the upcoming year. I pointed out yesterday, it's a little bit odd, because what comes out now that according to Ben Azai, he's being machmir, but as a result of that, really now you have a kula. Because now you have 15 animals. And you don't have to do the mitzvah of Maisa Behema. Why? Because he's being machmir. So it's a, right, being machmir is a double sword, meaning that, yes, you could be machmir, but sometimes the consequence of that is going to be, kulas are going to come out from that. And at times, the Gemara says, we don't like that. Here, the Gemara doesn't comment on that, but, okay. So it's worth noting. No lo beheba tishrei veheba av, hare elu mitzarfin. Now, let's say you have five animals born in Tishrei and five animals born in Av, so that'll combine. Now, mind you, by the way, Tishrei Av, they're combining because one's the beginning of the year, that's Tishrei, and Av is the end of the year. It's only Elul which remains in the state of doubt, according to Ben Azai. So, if I have five animals born in Tishrei, five born in Av, that according to Ben Azai, that of course will combine. Now you have 10 animals, now you perform the mitzvah of Maisa Behema.
How could he skip Elul? That's like bizarre that he doesn't...
No. In other words, it's not... It's right. It's in other words, starting with Tishrei, going to Av. Meaning, no, not from Av to Tishrei. That won't work. Right. No, starting from Tishrei, going to Av. So Hare Elu Mitzarfin. The Gemara now asks a basic question, a historical question, which is Ben Azai Machri Al Dibrei Tamidav. Meaning, what is Ben Azai worried about? He's worried about a machlokas between Rav Meir versus Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. They're his students. Meaning Ben Azai was an earlier generation. Ben Azai, or the Gemara is about to put it, was of the generation of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, perhaps a student of Rabbi Akiva, perhaps a colleague of Rabbi Akiva. Actually, our Gemara right here in the Yerushalayim is going to discuss that in just a moment. But he was an earlier generation. So I understand, says the Gemara, had there been an earlier machlokas, and Ben Azai says, I don't want to take a stand. But I understand, says the Gemara, Ben Azai was an earlier generation, and he's now worried about what the students are saying, and because of that, he's not going to take a side. The Gemara says that's just not—it's not plausible. It's not tenable. Also, Rav Yirmi of Rav Meisha b'Shem Rabbi Shmuel, but Rav Yitzchak shekei nechluku ala ha'avos ha'olam. So the Gemara explains, no, it's an antiquated machlokas. It's a much older machlokas than Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir. So it just happens to be that they're expressing the machlokas. But the truth of the matter is, it was been argued earlier. Uman Hinu, and by the way, the Gemara points out who is arguing this before them. So Avosa Olam Tan Rav Yuna Kama Rav Yirmiya Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva. This was an antiquated machlokas. In fact, debated by Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva. Okay, so now you get it. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva are arguing. They're the generation prior to Ben Azai. So good. So now that we know that it's an older machlokas, by the way, the Gemara doesn't tell us who says what, but now that we know it's an older machlokas, now we understand Ben Azai's reaction to, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to take a side. Therefore, Elul is going to be an independent month. Zosamers, Ben Azai, Chaver V'tamid Haya, the Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, so now, let's try to figure out the relationship between Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, it's a hybrid relationship. He's a Talmud, he's a Chaver. He's both a student and a colleague. Now, how do we arrive at that conclusion that he's a student and a colleague? So, Im Tamar Rabbi. So the Gemara says, because you can't just simply say that the relationship between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai was student Talmud. It can't be that simple. Why not? Because Is Barnash Amar LaRabbi Ho VeIlu Amru Kach VeElu Amru Kach. Because look at the way Ben Azai speaks to Rabbi Akiva. He speaks to him not formally, but very cordially. So he says to him, is there Since they say this and they say this, meaning elu ve'elu, right? They say this and they say this. And as we just learned, the they and they, although in our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Meir, but the really it's Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So, and that's how he's talking about his Rebbe. Well, they say that. In other words, it's a very informal way of speaking. It can't be that the relationship between Ben Azai and Rabbi Kiva was just Rabbi Talmud. Rabbi Avam Bishem, Rabbi Shmuel, Be Rav Yitzchak, Shamalei Men Ada. I'll show you another Mishnah. Another Mishnah where also it indicates that Ben Azai was more than just a Talmud to Rabbi Akiva, but rather Ben Azai was becomes a colleague. Meaning, by the way, it's assumed by the Gemara that Ben Azai was a student of Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, the Gemara didn't clarify that point, and without knowing more information, it's just, I'm talking about from my end, it's assumed from the Gemara that Ben Azai, of course, was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but the Gemara is now just pointing out that it had to have, the relationship had to have developed a little bit more, because just watch the way that Ben Azai speaks to Rabbi Akiva. Here's another example. Amalei Ben Azai ala chalukin anu mitzarin ala shebat lachlok aleinu tashavin. Gemara throws this into the middle of a discussion, but this is now Ben Azai saying to Rabbi Akiva, look, please don't make more machlokas. Meaning, there are so many areas in halacha where we're making a machlokas, and they're talking about a particular issue. Right? I'm not in on what the issue is, but again, the point over here is just to watch the way Ben Azai is speaking to Rabbi Akiva. Ela Shabbat, you're coming, lachlok aleinu l'shavin, in other words, to make to something which is unanimous, something which we all agree on, you're going to divide that as well? Please don't. But again, the key point over here is Shabbat, you're coming. I mean, that's how he's talking to Rabbi Akiva. Zosemers Ben Azai chavetamid ha'yahava l'Rabbi Akiva im tom rabbe, and the Gemara just here expresses exactly this point. Because if you say that Rabbi Akiva was a Rebbe of Ben Azai, is Barnash amal rabbe, so is there somebody like that talks to the Rebbe? Al Shabbat lachlok aleinu etashavin, that you're coming, that's the way you talk to your Rebbe? The Gemara says impossible. So it must be that Ben Azai developed a more of a collegial relationship with Rabbi Akiva. Okay? But anyway, point being that the sheet of Ben Azai is really, he doesn't want to take a side. The sides are, although in the Mishnah expressed as a machlokas after Ben Azai, truth of the matter is a machlokas prior to Ben Azai, machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and he was a student of Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara just here simply says that not only was he a student, but he was also he turned into what the Gemara referred to as a Talmud Chaver. A student who ended up becoming a colleague of Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
Reish Lakish was a student and then turned into we're correct. We've seen that before as well. Okay, Tamanta Ninan, we learned in a mission over there called Nodim Me'echa B'Tishrei Ad Chavtes Be'elul Hare'el Mitzarfin. Any animal that's born before the first day of Tishrei until the 29th day of Elul, so they're going to combine. In other words, this brace over here is expressing the viewpoint of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon that the Rosh Hashanah for Ma'aser Behemah is the first day of Tishrei. So therefore, calendarically, the fiscal year for Ma'aser Behemah starts on the first day of Tishrei and ends on the 29th day of Elul. And the obvious consequence would be that if five animals are born before and five animals are born before and after, so they're not going to combine. Here the point I made to you earlier, now you get to see it inside the Gemara. Five animals are born before the Garen, five animals are born after the Garen. Again, the Garen are those three times a year where the Chachamim strongly advise, recommend, command us to separate Ma'aser Behemah. Those are not hard dates, those are what I call soft dates. Soft dates because five animals born before the Garen, five animals born after the Garen, they will combine. Hare'elum et starfin. Amar Rav Yusa Hadam. Okay, fine. Period. I can breathe for just a quick moment. Okay, that ends us, that takes us now to the end of when the fiscal year is. Okay, Ma'aser Behemah, as I mentioned earlier, it's a form of Trumas Ma'asros, right? It's another way of imposing a tax, although it's not like Trumas Ma'asros, because Trumas Ma'asros have, generally speaking, an address in terms of who they go to. Truma goes to Kohanim, Ma'aser goes to Levium. We understand. There are parts of Trumas Ma'asros that don't go. Ma'aser Sheni doesn't have an address. Ma'aser Sheni comes back to you, and you have to in Yerushalayim. Ma'aser Behemah, even though we call it Ma'aser, and even though it's 10%, it doesn't go to anybody. It stays by you. It just is a carbon. Every 10th animal becomes a carbon. So, but nevertheless, though, now that we're putting it in the camp of Trumas and Maestros, so now the Gemara wants to know, what category in Trumas and Maestros are we going to put it in? Meaning, let's try to see if we can compare this to what we know regarding fruits. Okay? And the halacha is the Trumas and Maestros regarding fruits. Now, it's an interesting comparison, because basically what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to compare the birth of an animal to the development of a fruit. Okay, it's right. Definitely, it's not a stretch. We could think about it. We can conceive of it. Essentially, that's what the Gemara is going to be doing now for the next little bit. So, Amar Rabbi Yusa Hadal Meres Ma'aser Behema Lo Asu Oso Lo Kechanat VeLo Kishlish. I don't think that it really has a model. Meaning, if we're going to try to compare the birth of an animal to a fruit in the halachas of Trumas and Maestros, it really doesn't have a model in which we could base it on. It's not like chanata, and it's not like shlish. Now, what's chanata? Chanata is the blossoming of the fruit. By certain fruits in the world of Trumas and Maestros, once it's blossomed, so now it's subject to the laws of Trumas and Maestros. Meaning, if I were to pluck it off the tree after the point of blossoming, it's subject to the halachas of Trumas and Maestros. When it comes to wheat and olives, so the halach is shlish. Shlish means that the fruit it has to go beyond the point of blossoming. The fruit has to reach a third of its developmental growth. Why? Because at the point of a third, now it's edible. But prior to a third, it wasn't edible. After a third, now it's edible. So in the world of Trumas and Maestros, generally speaking, fruit, chanata, when it blossoms. When it comes to grains and olives, shlish. So let's see, says the Gemara, can I try to take the Ma'aser Behema and put it in either model? So the Gemara says, look, Imtamar kechanat, it's certainly not chanata. Chanata is the blossoming. Now, certainly not edible. It just simply means when the fruit exists in this world. So now, if Ma'aser Behema was predicated on that as its marker, as its time that it's chayv in Trumas and Maestros, so listni kol amu bar meyachav v'tishrei ad esrim v'tishrei be'elom. So then it wouldn't be the birth of the animal, it would rather be the pregnancy. Meaning from the point of, from Ibor, from conception, or I don't know, maybe when pregnancy becomes identifiable, not 100% clear, but at some earlier gestation point, then and only then is it going to be chayv in Trumas and Maestros. Clearly that's not the marker. So in other words, it doesn't operate on a model of chanata. That's clear. Now, what about shlish? Maybe it operates on the model of shlish. Now, the model of shlish is predicated on the fact that once it becomes edible, so now it's chayv in Trumas and Maestros. That's true by wheat, it's true by olives. So maybe that's true by Ma'aser Behema as well. That maybe it's operating with the model of shlish. Okay? The Gemara says it's not. Why not? So listen, kol anoldim ad esrim v'shnayim be'elo. Because then, when would be the critical date? The fiscal year would end on the 22nd day of Elul, not the 29th of Elul. A little bit of a head-scratcher, but if we think about it for just a moment, it makes perfect sense. What do we know regarding an animal? An animal, as a carbon, cannot be brought as a carbon until it's 8 days old. Pasuk in Chumash. We land it every Yontif. So the Yom HaShmini V'Hala Yeratzeh. Only from the 8th day on can it be brought as a carbon. So for those first 7 days of the animal's life, it's what's called Mechusar Zman. It's immature. It cannot be brought as a carbon. So now, if the Ma'aser Behema is predicated on the model of shlish, the whole idea of shlish is, I can now eat it. It's now a third developed and now it's edible. So if we wanted to say that by Ma'aser Behema, so the calendaric day of it would end of its fiscal year would be the 22nd. So that this year, meaning 8 days later, the 29th, by the way, I did the numbers in my head. It's correct, right? Because you're counting the 22nd. So from 22 to 29, that's 8 days later. So that means it would be edible this year. Not just born this year, but edible this year. Because again, the whole idea is that it's a carbon, and it can only be born after its 8th day. So therefore, it would be, if we follow the Shlish model, that the date it has to be born can be no later than the 22nd day of Elul. Good. So this is what the Gemara is trying to figure out. Does this Ma'aser Behema operate on a fruit model? Certainly not chanata, that's clear. Maybe shlish can't be, because It has to be edible by the end of the year, which means that it has to be born no later than 22nd. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shama, b'shem Rabbi Bibi, Rabbi Chia, kishlish asu oso, kishlish asu oso. So they want to now argue that, no, it operates with the model of shlish, and kirebi Shimon. And what we could say then is that our Mishnah subscribing, not our Mishnah, but basically all the opinions over here are subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon mechusas man nechlas l'dil yisaser. Because Rabbi Shimon says that even an animal that is within the first 7 days after birth can be brought into the pen and can be counted towards Maaser Behima, even though there's a chance, small as it may be, 10%, there's a chance that this animal will be selected as the Maaser Behima animal, and even though after selection I'm going to have to wait, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that a Mechusar Zman can be brought in the pen in order to be subject to Maaser Behima. Now this position, Rabbi Shimon, is very controversial, meaning everyone disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, but just so that we can understand our Mishnah, we're gonna say our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. And again, the advantage of doing all this is just simply so that Maaser Behima follows a Shlish model. I mean, in other words, really what the Gemara is trying to do over here is take what we know about Trumas and Maestros and plug it into the world of Maaser Behima.
But in terms of edibility, right? And Uber is edible if you shift your mother and you find that it's edible.
So no, but in other words, edible here regarding Maaser Behima, meaning it has to be brought as a carbon. I mean, the whole idea of Maaser Behima is that we're going to bring it as a carbon. You're right. If we shecht the mother, we can eat the fetus inside. But the idea over here is eligible as a carbon. So that's not going to occur until A, it's born, and B, 8 days later. Kam Rabbi Mana im Rabbi Shammai amale atamar chad milsa taman taninan. I'm sorry. Amalei atamar chad milsa. You're saying one thing again. The very cryptic line of the Yerushalmi. Not exactly clear what that means, but basically, right? We'll see in just a moment. Maybe we can clarify that line. So taman taninan. We learned in the Mishnah over there. Banazi omer alulim etasun latzman. So the Elul is an independent month, right? That was the opinion of Benazir that we've went over already a number of times. Now, when Benazir makes that statement, don't you think he means that the entire month of Elul, meaning even from the 22nd to the 29th day of Elul, that's an independent month? Meaning your argument that we're only going from 20, we're only going up to 22, but not including 29, hard to imagine. So Islach Lamer Benazik Rabbi Shimon. And furthermore, now based on your approach, you're telling me that Benazir has to fall like Rabbi Shimon? Meaning for any of these positions to work, you're arguing that we have to be going like Rabbi Shimon. Hard to imagine. Hard to imagine that every single Shita, that, and that's probably what the Gemara meant a couple of lines ago, when the Gemara says, Atamat Chada Milsa. Meaning you're gonna keep saying the same thing again and again, every time it goes like Rabbi Shimon. It's just hard to imagine. Veloka Rabbanan. So Kamadat Amart Alda Rabbanan, Menich Lashana Haba, Behain Matasim im Beneshna San. So the Gemara says, so let me give you another approach. Okay? In other words, let's not go like Rabbi Shimon. Again, Rabbi Shimon takes this very controversial position where I could take an animal which is Mechusar Zman and put it towards the count of Maaser Behima. Let's not do that. Meaning, in order for an animal to be put into the pen for the counting, it has to be at least 8 days old. And let me also say that our Mishnah is operating on the principle of edibility. So and so that means that even animals that are born after the 22nd day of Elul are both subject to Maaser Behima of this year and edible. It's a head scratcher. How does that work? So basically, what the Gemara says, this is the Gemara's solution. The solution is very simple. Well, in other words, the animal will be born on the 25th day of Elul, on the 26th day of Elul, on the 29th day of Elul, and we will apply it to this year. Oh, but it's not edible. So the solution is really simple. Oh, so wait. Wait a week. Okay, more. A week and a day after its birth, and then count. So now you got everything, meaning you got the idea that I'm only going to count once it's subject to edibility, and we could also apply it to the previous year, because it was born in the previous year. So in other words, no, maybe it really does operate on the Shlish model, that it has to, it's a function of edibility, and in terms of counting it, we're not going to count it until it's actually edible. And the Gemara says, and I'll explain to you that this is in fact correct. So, I'm sorry, b'nei shnasan. Kenat amar, al de ben azem, nichen legor, nabav, v'hematasin, im b'nei elulin. The same thing is true regarding Ben Azai. It's going to be counted with the Alulim. Am Rabbi Chia Zosemer Yamim Shabachor Mechusuzman Bahen Olin Lola Toch Shnaso. So the Gemara says, and now, based on all this, we're going to understand the following. We have a Bechor. A Bechor has to be brought within its first year. Okay? So how do I count a year? So, presumably, from the day that it's born until 1 year later, meaning it celebrates its first birthday. The Gemara says, if you think about it, don't I get to add eight days? Because I should be able to count those first 8 days of the animal's life. It can't be brought as a carbon. No animal can be brought as a carbon until the eighth day. And so how do you count that as those days? So the Gemara says, based on what we're saying now, that no, the day the animal is born, that's significant. Even though for those next 8 days, it's not, next 7 days, it's not eligible to be brought as a carbon, those are significant days. We see it in the world of Meiser Behema. Any animal that's born on the last 7 days of Elul, right from the 22nd to the 29th, and we're going to see it also now in terms of a Bechor, on the front end. That even though the animal's born, and even though it has to be born in the first year, and even though those first 7 days are not, I can't bring as a carbon, they're still going to count. Those days count. And Amar Rabbi Manam, Rav Yuna, Abba Shama Lamin Hadam, Gemara says, I'll quote a pasuk that makes this point very clearly. Kol HaBechor Asher Yivaleid HaZachar Takdish. You have a Bechor, what do? You sanctify it. Right, I mean, this is the obvious question. The Gemara, the Bavli asks this question. I understand. You're Makdish it? No, it's born. Bechor is born, it becomes Kadosh. So what's the Torah telling us when the Torah says Takdish, that you have to be Makdish it? Right? It's a simple question. So here the Yerushalmi gives a sophisticated answer. Haketa Mishal Leidaso Atmon Loshana. Meaning that even though for those next 7 days postpartum, after the birth, you can't be brought as a carbon, they count towards the year. Takdish means it has Kedusha. It can be brought as a carbon because it's Mechus Uzman. But still, I'm going to count those days, I'm going to apply those days to the year and count it for the year. That's what we mean by Bechor. And now when we go the other way, when by Meister Behema, and we're figuring, when is the year over? The year is over on the 29th day of Elul. And even if the animal's born on the 29th day of Elul, it's applied to the previous year. It's not edible. The Gemara says, okay, but just because it's not edible doesn't mean that we don't apply it to the day that it was born. Ad Kan, Gemara says, that's the end of that discussion. So basically, in a nutshell, it was a slightly complicated issue, but basically, in a nutshell, the Gemara says that the beginning and end of the fiscal year for Meiser Behema, we're gonna take the position, the Rambam takes the position like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that it is the first day of Tishrei, not the first day of Elul, and vis-a-vis animals that are born, those last seven days of Elul, those will be applied, even though they're not edible. And we will follow the model of Shlish, meaning it is predicated on edibility. I look at the birth date, I don't start counting it until they're actually edible. So I may have to wait a couple of days into Tishrei to count, but in terms of what year it applies to the previous year. Adkan. All right, we start the next Mishnah. Okay, we are now withdrawing from the Lishka. All the monies have been collected. I have a pile of money on the floor. Coins, literally coins on the floor. And now the Mishnah over here is going to be describing in detail exactly how the withdrawal is done. As I explained yesterday, just quickly to reiterate right now, we basically have the following. Three times over the course of this year, we're going to do a Trumas HaLishka. We're going to make a withdrawal from the Lishka. With the money that we withdraw, we're going to be using that to buy Karbanos. Obviously, there's going to be Shayare HaLishka. There are going to be money remaining on the floor of the Lishka, which we'll talk later in the Masechta in terms of what happens to that money. And, just to make things a little more complicated, we're also going to have Shayare HaTruma, meaning all the money that we withdraw is not going to be used for Karbanos. There will be some surplus over there. We'll talk later in the Masechta what happens with that. But right now, we're just dealing with the very simple process of how we take off, how we withdraw from the Lishka, the physical act. So, B'shosh Kupa Shoshosh Shosh Shem Terminus HaLishka. So, we go in with a Kupa, a box, right? And each box is made up of three Sa'a. And so they go into the chamber. I don't know the size of the chamber. And with the three boxes, they go ahead and they just basically scoop the coins off the floor. Torminus HaLishka. Now, these boxes that are going to be holding the coins, Kasov Lem Aleph Beis Gimel, so either they're labeled in Hebrew letters, Aleph Beis Gimel, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Yevan is Kasuv Aleihem, Alpha Beta Gamma, and Rabbi Yishmael says no, not Hebrew letters, but rather Greek letters. Okay, the Eina Torim, it's clear from our Mishnah. At one point historically, so we were fluent in Greek, and everyone.
Yeah,
no, this is by Shin, absolutely. No, then by Rishon, they wouldn't even know what you're talking about. The no, this is during the Second Temple, right? So. Correct. Alpha, beta, gamma. Eina term nechna slo be parkur chapov velo be manal velo be sandal velo be tefillin velo be kameya. And the Mishnah says that the one going in to make that withdrawal, he has to be above reproach. He has to be totally not just free of taking any money, but free from perception of taking any money. So there cannot be any perception whatsoever that he went in there and took money. So he cannot go in. I'll just try to explain some of these terms. He can't go in with parkot. He can't go in with cuffs. Parkot chapos v'lo b'manal. Can't go in with shoes. He cannot go in with sandalim. He can't go in with tefillin, meaning because he may hide a coin under his tefillin. And now with the kameya back then, the amulets that they wore, that were popular in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara. So in other words, any article of clothing that could be an excellent place to hide a coin, so he can't go in. Not because he's going to take it. Of course he's not going to take. He's a temple treasure. He may take. But I'm saying, but no, of course he's not going to take. But in other words, he has to be above suspicion. He has to be dressed in a way where there's not even a thought that he could take. Shema Yaniv Yomer, and what's going to happen? The critics. Because if he went in there with cuff pants, if he went in there with shoes, somewhere we can hold the coins. So you know what the critics are going to say? This is not a modern phenomenon. The critics just simply play the result. Meaning the critics don't care what the result is. They're ready to criticize. It's funny, it's sad. It's really the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to say it. Meaning whatever the result is, they're going to just play it. They'll play the results. Shema yani v'yamra me avana lishka hayani. Because what's going to happen to the treasure? If he becomes poor, so the people are going to say, you know why he became poor? Because he stole from the base of Mikdash and God punished him. That's why. Oh, shema ye ashir. Or maybe he'll become wealthy. And you know what the critics are going to say? The critics are going to say, oh, you know why he became wealthy? He became wealthy because he stole from the base of Mikdash. Critics don't care what the results are. They're there to criticize. So you have to be above reproach. This whole concept of Mara Sain comes out of a Mishnah Shkalim. So we can, as you know, perhaps I complained in the past and before about doing Shkalim, God forbid. But now we get a Mishnah in Shkalim that talks about this idea of Mara Sain, that you have to be above the, you have to be not just innocent, but perceived innocent. That there's an idea that you have to look good as well. Shenem Rav Yisim Nikim Hashem Am Yisrael, the Gemara quotes a pasuk towards the end of Bamidbar, which we'll talk more about the pasuk later on this morning, and a pasuk in Mishlei that also speaks to this idea that you have to be clear and innocent, not only in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of man as well. We'll come back, we'll discuss Mara Sain a little bit later on. We have a Mishnah Shabbos. Mishnah Shabbos basically talks to this idea that although on Shabbos we don't work and we don't do malacha, but you can move a couch around all day if you want. That's fine. Problem is, it's not appropriate to be sitting there on Shabbos and doing physical labor on Shabbos. So one example the Mishnah over there gives is that you can't move around dal vehe kupos. 4 to 5 boxes on Shabbos. If I remember correctly, the Mishnah on Shabbos over there says, if there's a mitzvah justification to do so then that would be okay, right? We talked about over there clearing area for a shear. But in general, though, you can't move around a lot. There's a term in the Mishnah over there in Shabbos, kupa. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, well, once we know the Mishnah Shkalim, so now we'll understand the Mishnah Shabbos. Oh, of course. So Rabbi Zira Shal is Rabbi Yoshia, Kamahu Shiran Shal, kupos. What's the shear of a kupa? So Amalei, top of Chesem and Beis, Nilma Sosem and Amafurush. So the Gemara says, I got it. We'll... In other words, you may not know the Mishnah on Shabbos, what it's referring to, but you have the Mishnah Shkalim, first Mishnah, the third parak of Shkalim. Second Mishnah of the third parak of Shkalim, and we'll just apply it to the Mishnah Shabbos. Okay, so we have three kupas. Every kupa is made up of three saw. Period. Now, true of the matter is that don't put a period there at that point in time. The Gemara is going to go on, but point made that every kupa is made up of three saw. Good. So now, when every time you learn the Mishnah Shabbos, you'll know you can't move four to five kupas. So every kupa is made up of three saw. And then the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, we'll just do a little bit of simple math right now. Right? How much was taken from the Lishka? So the Gemara says, Shein Tisha. Well, we know that three kupas go in order to do the truma, in order to do the withdrawal. Shein Tisha sign. Shein Esrim V'Shava sign. So, which ends up becoming 27, because that was done three times a year. So 9 times 3 is 27. So a total of 27 saw of coins. I didn't do the math. I didn't figure out how much silver we're talking about. But 27 saw of coins were withdrawn annually, and that was enough for the karbanos for the whole year. Okay. Tormenis Lishka, the custom of Lame Aleph Beis Gimel, Mimnei, Ma custom of Lame Aleph Beis Gimel. So why marked? Why do we mark the kupa? So the Gemara says, Lama Mistamik Minarishon is Kodon Lashnia, Minashnia Kodon Lashlishis. So the Gemara says, order, Seder. We just want order. In other words, the first withdrawal is the monies that we're going to apply first. The second withdrawal, second. Third withdrawal, third. Taman Tanina. Okay. Now, we're talking about Shiurim, so the Gemara now is going to digress. And this digression is going to take us for a while, at least this Amud, on to the next Amud. And the digression is the Shiur of wine. All this discussion, most of this discussion is going to sound familiar to us, because the Gemara here in Shkalim, in this digression, is going to speak a lot about Dalet Kosos, the mitzvah of four cups of wine that we drink on Pesach. Now, it's great. We just happened to have been, a week and a half ago, sitting in the 10th parak of Pesachim, talking about the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. So it's good. It's fresh in our mind, somewhat. And so a lot of these Gemaras are going to sound familiar. Taman Taninam, we learned in the Mishnah over there, Hamotzi Yayin Kedei Mezikas HaKos. Now this is the Mishnah Shabbos. The Mishnah Shabbos talks about how much wine you have to carry on Shabbos in order to violate the Malacha of Hotza'ah. Hotza'ah requires that I carry from one Rishus to another Rishus, and I have to carry a certain amount, a shear. So what's the shear? So when it comes to wine, Kedei Mezikas HaKos, enough for the purposes of dilution. Remember, we drink a cup of wine, it's a revius, it's a quarter of a log. Back then, their wines were concentrated. So what we would do is we would only add a little bit of wine and dilute it with warm water, and that's how we would make our wine. What was the ratio of wine to water? 1 to 3. One part wine to three part water. So that means then that of that revius of log, how much of it was actual wine? A quarter of that. So in other words, a 16th of a log of wine was used so that I would be able to drink a revius of a log. Good information that we've gone over a number of times. We get to review it again. And so the Gemara says that's how much wine you have to carry in order to be chayev on the malacha of Hotzah for Shabbos. Rabbi Zira shows Rabbi Yoshia Kamashir and Shal Kos. So how much is the shear of a kos? Again, we have a Mishnah Shabbos. Mishnah Shabbos doesn't give us a lot of detail. All it says is kos. How are we supposed to know what that means? So I'm going to say no minimum for us. This is why the Gemara digresses, because we're going to use the same type of style of learning, where we're going to compare one Mishnah to another Mishnah. The four cups of wine, this is Dal Kosos of Pesach. So how much is it? Revius shel yain bi'italki. A revius. Each wine is made up of a revius. I'm Rav Yossi Bar Avi Mishnah.
All four
of them. All right. Correct. Huh?
Why does it have to specify that it's got to be Italian?
Don't know. Good question. I'm Rav Yossi Bar Avi Mishum Rav Yochanan to Rav Yehuda. He didn't. This conforms to the position of Rabbi Yehuda, because we learned on the Braisa. Ma'im kedei gemia. Rabbi Yehuda omer kedei lashav behemes akilor. How much water do you need to carry on Shabbos? Machlokis between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama says enough for one gulp, according to Rabbi Yehuda, for some sort of eye ointment. Yayin, which I think is less, yes. Yain kedei gemia. How much wine? So kedei gemia according to the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda Amar kedei mezikas hakos. Okay, so again, so you see that this idea that you have to carry a quarter of a log of wine, so that conforms to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. Mazug bekama. What if the wine is diluted? So nashmina minada. So the Gemara says, okay, so watch the following brisa. Again, same achlokas regarding water. Yain kidei gemir, Rav Yehuda amar kidei mezigas hakos. So hadam ramazik kidei mezigas hakos, kamishiran shal kos. So the Gemara says, how much is the kos? How much is the cup? So the Gemara is going to speak in terms of measurements that were popular back then. These measurements aren't going to help us. We don't know what these measuring cups are. But the Gemara says, Rabbi Avin Amar titarton viriviya. Take a titarton, which was a popular measuring cup back then, that plus another quarter of a titarton, that's how much a kos was, a cup was, what we would call a rivias. Mayim lishtotam b'krach echad. Medam Rabbi Manam, Rabbi Yossi Hillel, Rabbi Yossi Halal im shaman b'veis haknesses yatsa. So the Gemara over here introduces us to an interesting opinion. Sorry, I just ran over the previous line of Gemara. Let me backtrack just one line. Ma'u lishtosem b'krach echad. Can I drink the four cups of wine in one sequence? Okay, we had almost an identical question that was asked in the Bavli, in the 10th parak. Whether I could drink shasem b'vas echad. Right, if I remember correctly, was the Gemara's terminology in the Gemara in Pesachim. And then I'm going to bank on my memory one more time. Dangerous, but I'm going to do it. The Gemara over there, if I remember correctly, had a machlokus between Rashi and the Rashbam in terms of what exactly that Gemara meant. It means, if I remember correctly, Rashi said it was basically pouring it all into one large cup and drinking it all together. That's the way Rashi understood the Gemara. The Rashbam over there says no. And no, four separate cups in a row. That was the Gemara's question over there. Okay. Meanwhile, over here, basically the Yerushalmi is asking a very similar question. What if I drink all four cups at one time? So the Gemara says, well, why don't we bank it on the following? Halal im shaman beveis kinesis yatsa. An interesting position. Let's say you hear halal shul. It seems clear from the Gemara. Now, I have to look in the mirror right now because I'm not one of those people that you say halal and shul. Okay? It seems obvious because the Gemara says, what if you hear halal and shul? So, you're yotze your mitzvah of halal, meaning that when you go home that night for the Seder, it's nice to say halal, it's part of the Seder, but you don't have to. You fulfilled your obligation. This is the opinion of the Yerushalmi, specifically the position of Rabbi Yossi. Hard to know as we're reading Yerushalmi. The Tana Rabbi Yossi, the Amar Rabbi Yossi, I don't know. But anyway, but that's the Shita. The Gemara is just using that to make a specific point. So, Hadam Ra'im Shasem B'Krach Echad Yatsa. So what do you see over there? So now you're going to move from the third cup on the Seder night to the fourth cup. So normally for us, there's a built-in pause, and that's called Halal. Meaning what? After we bench, we drink the third cup of wine, and then what? Then we say Halal. Then we drink the fourth cup. So we're not drinking them back to back. The fact that there's a shita that says that if you heard halal and shul, you don't have to say halal at home. So that means, what do you do after your third cup? You go right to your fourth cup. So you see, if you put all this together, that if you drink simultaneous cups, I know it only speaks about two, but if you drink about simultaneous cups, you're yotze, you fulfilled your obligation. So ma'al lishtosam bipiskan. Can I sip? Can I sip my wine? For the dal kosos klum amar shiista lo kidei shiista velo shiista ker so im shatzah bepiska nafi ena mishtaker. So the Gemara says absolutely, because look, although the chachamim want us to drink, the chachamim don't want us to get drunk. And so what the Gemara says is, if I sip my wine, so I won't get drunk. Getting drunk means you're going to be drinking a lot very quickly. So if I sip, I won't get drunk. The Yerushalmi says, good, that's what I want. Do you remember? The Mishnah in Pesachim told us that you're not allowed to drink additional cups between cup number three, cup number four. The Mishnah doesn't explain why. So if you remember, the Rashbam says, here's what I learned from the Yerushalmi. He wasn't quoting this Yerushalmi, by the way. He was quoting a different one. But the Yerushalmi says the reason why is because they don't want you to get drunk. So in other words, what I remember from the Rashbam conforms perfectly to what the Yerushalmi says over here, that it's better to sip your wine for the dalkos rather than to drink it so that you don't get drunk. Malat says, "B'yayin shel shvius." Okay, this is a tough one. Can I drink the dalakosis using yayin shel shvius, using shmita wine? Mm-hmm. Now the question is, why not? Meaning, what are we talking about? So we're up against. Well, first of all, I'm up against the clock over here. So but we're up against the shmita year. Next year is going to be shmita year in Israel. The following year? Yeah. We're 2 years away?
15.
Okay. I'll do the math after. Okay, anyway, so, but in the Shemitah year, so any fruit that grows during the Shemitah year, meaning obviously you're not working the land, but the trees are still going to produce fruit, so any fruit that grows during the Shemitah year is going to have Kedushas Shvius. We'll have Shvius sanctity. And that means, well, we could still eat it. In fact, according to the Ramban on his Minyan HaMitzvot, it's a mitzvah to eat Kedushas Shvius. But the and you have to finish every drop also, meaning you can't waste it. And then it gets to a point of biur. Biur means that when it's no longer seasonal, so now I have to do what's called the biur per shvius. What exactly that means is not clear. Machlokas amongst the Rishonim, the Rambam against the Ravid. Rambam says you actually have to destroy it. The Ravid says no, you just have to be mafkir it. You just have to let it. Or leave it ownerless. But anyway, there's what's called the Shas Beer. Let's say like the Rambam, it'll fit a little bit, it'll just be easier to understand in the context of our Gemara. So after Shas Beer, so I have to destroy it. Okay. Question. Can I use Peir Shvius for my mitzvah of Dal Kosos, even though it has approached the time of Beer? Okay, that's one way to understand our Gemara. I'm going to operate with this understanding. I'm not presenting, this is not the only way to understand our Gemara. So Tani Rav Yoshi Yotzim behind Shal Shvius, Malach says, I'm sorry, wait, pause. Why would the answer be yes? Meaning, let's see if we can figure this out. Meaning, the answer should be no. After there's a halach of biur, so I have to destroy it. So why would the answer be yes? So interesting, again, I'm basing this on the Mefarshim. You can see this inside the Karban Eidah. So basically, the reason why you would say yes is because the drinking of the Dal Kosos is a mitzvah, and we have a principle regarding mitzvos. Mitzvos lav lahenos nitnu, meaning we don't benefit from mitzvos, and so therefore the argument that can be made is that even though it's shas biur, even though I should be destroying these fruit, but nevertheless I'm performing a mitzvah with them, and so therefore maybe the performance of a mitzvah will override the biur. Something like that. It gets more complicated because the Dal Kosos is not a mitzvah d'oraisa; it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So it's whatever. Obviously, we could sit on this point in the Gemara for a while. I'd rather not for now, for our purposes. But anyway, Tani Rabbi Yoshi Yosem Yain Shal Shvius. Answer: simple, straightforward. Yes, it works. Malos es bekonditon. Konditon was a popular wine in the good old days. It was spicy and sweet. It was like basically like it was kind of like a sangria, although that's my guessing. But basically, it was a very spicy, sweet wine. So midinani bar kapara konditon kiyayin. So the Gemara says, yeah, it has the same status as wine. Hadar ma yotzen biyan konditon malot says biyan mezugin. So the Gemara says, how about very diluted wine? So midinani Rabbi Chiyar bar kosos shama yotzen by miday bein chayin bein mezugin uvashe bem tam umari yayin. As long as it tastes and looks like wine, so you could use it. So that means even if you dilute it, right? Recommend it for people who have a low tolerance of wine, so just throw some water in. As long as it has taste and appearance of wine, it'll work. I'm Rav Yirmiyah Mitzvah Latzis Biyayin Adam Shenemar. It's a mitzvah to use red wine. Al Tereyayin Ki Yit Adam Paskin Mishle. The Gemari Bavli taught us the same thing, that the wine has to both look and taste like wine. What if the wine is cooked? So nowadays, extremely popular to have the wines cooked, but that's for a halachic reason. That's because it removes us from the whole problem of stam yainan. But in other words, it's inferior. Once you cooked it, obviously it's now an inferior wine. Can I use it for Dal Kosos? So the Gemara says. The Gemara is very ambiguous. The Gemara says, you know, yayin mevush, I'm sorry, mevushel kemetubal. Well, if it's cooked, it's like it's spiced. Okay, and therefore what? Okay. Could be. Malach says, beyond mevushel. Gemara here addresses the question straight out. Can I use cooked wine? So, I'm Rabbi Yuna, yotzei b'yayin mevushel. Yes, the Gemara says you could use it. Rabbi Yuna, letameh, de Rabbi Yuna, b'kad havashasi, harbakasti, de pischa. And the Gemara says, look, Rabbi Yuna is pretty consistent with how he generally feels about wine. He doesn't like wine. Why? He would drink the four cups of wine on Pesach. In other words, he didn't like drinking one cup. On Pesach, he drank four. It was a mitzvah. Havechazik resha ad chaga. And he would hold his head, meaning he was nursing a terrible headache up until Shavuos. A 50-day headache. He knew, it's very interesting, he knew the consequence of drinking dalakosis on Pesach would give him a 50-day headache, but he would drink it anyway. So whatever he could do to mitigate that the potency of the wine, he would do. He'd cook the wine. So okay, the Gemara says it's consistent. Let's do a little bit further. I know I'm over. Let me just get to the bottom of the Amud. I apologize so much, Gemara. Chamise, it's a good thing. It's just, you know, for Daf Yomi, it doesn't work out so well. Chamise chana machunusa apinoran. So a matron, a woman, right, usually refers to like a noble woman. So she sees the face of one of the Amorayim, and his face was radiant. Okay, he looked excessive. He looked good. So Amr Saba Saba Chanami Haniklas Emilin Isbach. So she starts laying the accusations, meaning she basically is going to say to him, look, either you're drunk or you do something in life which doesn't require a lot of work because you look good. I don't know how else to say it. You just look good. So, Odeshasi Chamer, either you're a heavy drinker, O Atta Mave Beredis, or you lend with interest, O Atta Megadah Chaziri, or you raise pigs. Meaning, you must be doing something that doesn't involve a lot of work because you look good. So, Amrle Tipech Rucha, Dahi Issa. So first he curses her. Okay. The Chada me Alan Klaus Mile Lesbi. No to all three. Ella Ufe Shriachli. But what explains my radiance? My learning. My learning of Torah explains my radiance. Da'achi ki siv chachmas adam ta'ir panav. Sorry. Chachmas adam ta'ir panav. The wisdom radiates you. Rabbi Abba Asal, it's very Chamune Tamude de Rabbi Yochanan Apuna Horin. Rabbi Abau goes to Tveria, and the students of Rabbi Yochanan are looking at him, and again, he looks good. He looks radiant. I'm in Tamina Rabbi Yochanan, Ashkach to Rabbi Abau, Sima Asala Gabay. Ashkach Rabbi Abau Sima. Rabbi Abau found a treasure. I don't know what's going on with Rabbi Abau, but again, for lack of a better term, he looks good. So Asala Gabay, Amrale, Mai Uraisa Chata Shamat. Would you hear any new Torah? So Rabbi Abau just says, just the opposite. I didn't hear new Torah. I heard old Torah. Amar le Tosefta Atika Kare Ale Chachmas Adam Tarpanov. So he said, I found an old Tosefta. It was lost. It hasn't been learned for a long time. I found it. I recovered it, and I got my hands on some original Torah, and that explains my radiance. Okay. We'll pause over here. Okay. I'm sorry. I fell further behind today. Okay. We'll figure out how to catch up.